Lord, I ask for help to preach your word and help for each one of us to receive. May it not be a word just scattered on all kinds of soil, but I pray for good soil. The soil of our hearts to be fully open and yielded to you so that your word will produce the harvest that you want in each one of our lives. For the glory of your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to just read one of the parables of Jesus this morning. And if you turn in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 25, and it's one of the longer parables, so prepare for a few moments of listening to God's word. Okay? God's word. And this is the word of Jesus. This is Jesus actually speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes or clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me in. And I needed clothes and you didn't clothe me. And I was sick and in prison, but you didn't look after me." And they will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and didn't help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least one of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. One of the interesting things about the teaching of Jesus is that he had, all the way through his teachings and his life, eternity in mind. He didn't just think of the span of somebody's natural life on earth. He always had eternal life and eternity on his mind. And that came out through his teachings because he wanted people to know about what will happen when you die. And that is something that everybody is interested in. Everybody that you meet, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, are interested in, is there life after death? What will happen to me when I physically die? And Jesus tells us this parable so that we can be clear and not be left to our own thinking about what will happen. Often when we're left to our own thinking, we come up with the wrong answer, which is why we need the truth of the Word of God to set us free, so that we will all understand that life isn't just about living our time span here on earth. It's about living forever somewhere. And Jesus is presented here as a shepherd and a king. A shepherd with sheep and goats and a king on his throne. And when Jesus returns, which is what he will do one day, and we don't get involved with charting the time or predicting the time that Jesus will return, because that's foolishness. Because Jesus himself said only the Father knows when Jesus will come again. But we do and are given in Matthew's gospel particularly the signs of the times. One of the biggest signs is the gospel will be preached to all nations. That's one of the biggest signs. Jesus wants everybody to hear the good news before he returns. And it's been put into the church's hands to make sure the message goes into all the world. It's our responsibility in this generation to ensure that everybody hears the good news of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is very clear that in the end times there will be wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of unrest. And I must admit to feeling a little bit overawed in these last few weeks of what is happening in our world with all the wars and the volatile nature of what's going on in Syria, in the Middle East, with some of the responses of America, North Korea, with threats of nuclear war happening in our world today. And interestingly, when I was preparing for this message, first of all, I had a vision of people being like on a stage in life. You imagine this is a theatre. I'm trusting it isn't, because this is where the word of God's being preached. I'm not here for show, but this is the theatre, and this is the platform. We're all, imagine us all on this platform, walking out our lives, doing whatever we do in our days. And some of us know that above the stage, there is a throne, and someone sits on it, Jesus, our King, the eternal God, and he will one day judge all of us. We know that judgment's coming through the words of Jesus. Now, some would say, but I'm a Christian and I will never be judged. Well, Romans tells us very clearly that each one of us will give an account to God for our lives. And that means Christians and non-Christians. And I just want to unpack this parable a little bit so we all are clear and understand what Jesus is really wanting to communicate through this parable. Because I think we all need to be ready for that day. And part of our role as a ministry and as leaders is to equip the body of Christ for that day. So it's actually my job to make sure you know what's going to happen and you understand the words of Jesus. It will be a cosmic event when he returns. It's not just for a few people who will go, oh, I see the Lord. It will be a universal shattering event. There will be no person that won't realize that Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is back, is come to judge. And the time we call this season we're in, biblically speaking, of a time of grace. This is called the good news of God's grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace. What is grace? Grace is God giving everything, favor to those who don't deserve it, through faith in Jesus Christ. But at the end of time, no one will be able to experience that grace beyond that point when Jesus returns. It's over. And then the judgment. And we will, all of us, myself included, which is an awesome thing, First of all, bow our knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether we're believers or not. And we will all give an account for our lives. And the Word of God, the Scriptures tell us that this will be a great and a terrible day. I just think it's fascinating the way that Scripture describes this day. It will be a great day. And let me tell you, if you're a sheep on that day, that's why it's great. Because you will enter into the inheritance of the kingdom. But it will be a terrible day if you're a goat. It will be a terrible day. And so it will be both a great and a terrible day. And there is this presented before Jesus. All nations will be gathered. All peoples will be gathered to him. And he will separate out the people. Now, some people have false teaching in that they have been taught that nations will be judged and nations will be saved, whole nations. So, for example, you might be somebody who is a little bit judgmental and they might say, well, the UK is going to be judged as a nation and thrown into the fire. And they might say, well, I know my whole family will be saved. But some of them maybe won't be. Because just because you are doesn't mean your family is. So whole nations, whole families, it doesn't go like that. Jesus judges individuals, a sheep and a goat at a time. So as individuals, we will be judged by the judge of all men who knows every heart and before whose eyes is laid bare all of our lives. We play out in the theater of life before the one who sees it all. And there are, Jesus says, two different kinds of people, just as he uses the analogy of sheep and goats. Now, sheep, their nature. In those times, actually, it was very difficult to tell a sheep from a goat. Currently, if you looked at a goat, and you know a little bit, you'd be able to tell it was a goat. In our farming kind of, you know, goats butt, goats do whatever they want. They don't do what the shepherd wants. They just do whatever they want. They eat what they want. They go where they want. They're just totally independent. Sheep are always looking for the shepherd because they know they need protection. They're dependent on the shepherd. And they're like, you know, I need to follow him. They're not independent. They're dependent. They're followers. And Jesus says the sheep are righteous and the goats are unrighteous. So they're different, not just as animals, but they are different in his eyes, righteous and unrighteous. Now we need to answer some very clear questions then. What makes a person a sheep? You want to know, don't you? You want to be sure of eternal salvation? Does anybody want to be sure and certain of your salvation on that great and terrible day? Well, Jesus says in his word, a righteous person, it means you're justified, which means you are right before God. A lot of people think they're right in their own eyes, you see. And right in your own eyes is actually justifying how you want to live, not right in God's eyes. So what makes a person righteous, in right standing? Or we could even say and go so far as without sin. What makes a person without sin? It's a tall order, isn't it? Because if you know anything about yourself, you'll know you have sinned and fallen short of God's holy standard. Each one of us has. But a person who is righteous means that you are without sin before God. But we know from Scripture that a person is not accepted by God because they're caring and do nice things for people. So we need the right interpretation of this parable. And we interpret this parable with the counsel of the Word of God, the whole of Scripture. Do we not? We need to use the Word to interpret the Word. And so, a righteous person isn't just a do-gooder. You are not righteous through works. No one is acceptable to God on the basis of works. No one. It doesn't matter how many charities you've started, how many works you've done, even for Jesus. You are totally unacceptable because of your works. The only thing that makes you acceptable to God is that you have believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he died and he rose again from the dead, and you confess, that means say, that he is your Lord and Savior. Now that means a whole lot more biblically than it does in our culture. Because to call someone Lord in the culture and the time of Jesus was out and out rebellion, both against Caesar, the emperor, and it was heresy to the Jews to say that Jesus is Lord. And so it might cost you your life to declare that Jesus is Lord. But no one can be righteous without Jesus Christ becoming your righteousness. Amen. So we are not righteous. We're not sheep by works. You can't classify a sheep by works alone. But the interesting and the amazing grace is, I was born a goat. And so were you. You were born a sinner with a sin nature you inherited from Adam, and you had, before you received Jesus, a nature. It was in your nature, like a goat, to be rebellious. You might say the right things, but you're still walking the other way. You're still going your own way. That's the definition and the fruit of a goat. I was that. But now I have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of my soul. Jesus Christ has become my Savior and my Master, my Lord, the one to whom I submit to, and the one who leads my life. So I am righteous, and this is what Romans is such a wonderful book to read. I'm righteous by faith. Even though I was born a goat, born in sin, dead in transgressions and sins, I have been born again. I have been born again. What does that mean? When Jesus died on the cross, I died in Christ. The sinner I, the goat me. I died. He didn't just die for my sins. I died on that cross with him. Hallelujah. Which means my old nature is dead and buried in Christ Jesus. And I have been born again. I have a new life. I have been raised to new life in Christ Jesus. I am now a new creation. Old things, goats have passed away. Do we have any sheep in the room? Praise the Lord. I once was a goat, now I'm a sheep. I once was dead, now I'm alive. I once was unrighteous, now I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 2 says, we have been saved. We have been, this is those who are believers, true believers in Jesus Christ. Not those who meh and act like a goat, but true believers. We have been saved by grace. I love the grace message. Amen. What is grace? God giving everything to those who don't deserve it. We heard at the beginning of the meeting, he who graciously gave his own son, how will he not also give us all things? He's a giver. God is a giver to all who believe in Jesus Christ. He gives eternal life. Amen. And so a person is not righteous by works, but saved by grace through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. We must know, church, what we were and now what we are. We mustn't think we are still a goat if we're born again. But we must know that someone who is a goat, a sheep, someone who is a sheep, it's a completely different animal now. It's a completely different animal. I'm just not saying I'm a different animal. I'm showing I'm a different animal. Okay, so a sheep is righteous by faith, but it definitely shows up in my life. If Christ is in me, truly in me, you will see by how I live my life. And this is what this whole message or parable of Jesus is about. It's about making sure we know who we are now. And if you're still a goat, today's a good day to become a sheep. And I don't want anybody in this room or under the sound of this message to go to hell. Hell is not a cessation of existence. That is a false teaching in the body of Christ, and it is ruining the power of the gospel and the witness of the church. The gospel can't ever be ruined. The power of the gospel is the power of the gospel. But if we say hell is just the end, it's just you just finish, it's not true. Jesus spoke about this again and again and again. It is eternity in torment with the devil. Never made for man. God never made hell for man. He made it for the devil and his demons. But because man fell and sinned against God, God is judge. But anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in this life does not need to fear judgment day. You don't have to fear punishment because fear has to do with punishment. But the perfect love of God, which is revealed in Christ and on the cross and the resurrection, casts out all fear. So on that day, it will be a great day for the true sheep. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Ephesians 2, I've quoted Ephesians 2, 8, but I just feel, I just want to, if you've got your Bible, could you just turn there to read it together? Don't you love the teaching of Jesus, the parables? Doesn't it sort your mind and your heart and your life out? Amen. James, would you mind opening the window? I feel they're sleeping a little bit and I'm hot. I trust you're not cold, but I think people are still going, it's hot. And I don't want you to sleep through something that might make an eternal difference. Imagine if this is the only message I ever preached again. I'm going to stay on the earth for a lot longer. Amen. I would want it to count. So please don't sleep. So Ephesians 2:8. It is by grace. Thank you, Lord. You have been saved. And this is not from yourselves. So in other words, you didn't work for this. It is the gift It is the gift of God. Righteousness is actually a gift. Jesus is the gift of salvation. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so anyone can boast. For we are God's handiwork or workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Now, what's interesting is that in Paul's mind and in the mind of Jesus, of course, because it's the word of God, but when he's teaching this parable, he's like, sheep don't just confess their salvation, their faith. Hello? Sheep are doers of the word. True sheep do what Jesus says. They're not pretend sheep with a kind of an outward appearance of a sheep, but you just take your coat off and you've got a goat that always goes your own way. But. Rather than Jesus, 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 whatever you want to say and do in my life, here I am. And we read here, we have been saved, this is really important, to do good works. Can you see the do? Is it Pastor Judith or is it the word? It's Jesus, yeah? We have been created, that's a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. You're a new person to do. So righteous people are do-gooders then. So many Christians go around saying, I'm not a do-gooder. Well, why not? Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. I reckon righteous people should show the same nature, Christ in us. So we're righteous to do good works. Righteous by faith, purely by grace, purely by grace, but not to carry on living like a goat, but to do the works that God has predestined or prepared for us to do, the good works. Jesus actually said, my sheep, because he talked as a shepherd, didn't he? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Do you know what we're doing? Whatever, Jesus, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Are you a yes man? Yes, you are. If you want to really be a true believer, you're a yes, sir. We have this sort of celebration of independence in our culture, which is like, don't be a yes man. If I were you, listening, reading this parable and listening to the word of God, I'd be a yes man. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say, that's fine with me. Because you are, after all, the boss. When I gave my life to Christ, I said, be the boss, be the master. I cannot read in Scripture. Now, you can make of this what you will, but I can't read anywhere in Scripture of those who do not continue following Jesus how certain their eternal salvation is. That's an awesome thing to say. It's an awesome thing to say. I'm not saying it to make you afraid, although a little bit of holy fear would do us all a world of good. But I haven't been saved to live my own life, but to live his, to live a new life. And I would not guarantee, if you read John 15 about the branches being cut off and burnt, I wouldn't guarantee somebody starting good and not ending great. I just wouldn't want to be preaching that, just in case I can see someone repent this morning and come to the true walk of what it means to be a real sheep, a real follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not be deceived into thinking just because you prayed it, that's it. Because that's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says, you will prove you're righteous by the things you do. And then he goes on to this, when I was ill, when I was in prison, when I needed encouragement, when I needed help, you were there. You did all of that. He took it personal. It's amazing that Jesus took it personal. And they said, Lord, what do you mean? When were you in prison? When were you sick? In 2017. And he says, whatever you do for the least of these sheep, and you're all looking like sheep to me this morning, looking like these sheep, whatever you do for these sheep, my brethren, he says. Now, what? I've really labored on this and gone into the doctrine of this because I want to be right. I don't want to be preaching something that isn't what Jesus was saying. And I know that in the heart of God, we are to do good to all. Do good to all. Do acts of kindness, helping people. A social work, you could call it, but it needs to be in the power of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit. But do good to all. But Jesus, when he says, whatever you did for the least of these, my brethren, he wasn't saying all. He said family. Isn't that an interesting thing? Because I've heard this message preached as everybody run like headless chickens and get out there and do a lot of good. And Jesus actually did not say that. He said, whatever you do for these sheep. Have a look around you there. Look at all the sheep around here. These are the sheep. You'd probably prefer they were other sheep. Because maybe they didn't do it to deserve it. They don't live to deserve you being showing acts of love. Bit like you. You didn't deserve the greatest act of love ever, but we all have received from Jesus' death. But he said, these are the sheep. He said, my brethren. You see, Jesus, I often say this, and God actually invented marriage, family, children. He did. And marriage and family and children are to be representing God's relationship with his church. That's how Ephesians teaches us. But when Jesus had his mum and brothers come, when he was having a revival meeting with his disciples, and they were trying to get in to the door, trying to come in and see Jesus, because they thought he was a little bit out of his mind, thinking he was going a little bit too far. And they were like, let's go rescue him. Imagine that. That's funny. Let's go rescue Jesus. So, there we go. They go and they say, please, your mother and your brothers are outside. Your family, your natural family are outside. Because some people preach this about the Jews. They're your natural family, Jesus. And Jesus actually said, my mother, my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it. Are the true sheep. So Jesus is speaking about doing acts of kindness, generosity, being there for each other, building one another up, providing whatever you can for the sheep around you. That's actually what he was talking about. Now, of course, let's go to prison and preach the gospel. Let's get out there and do Habitat to reach the lost. Let's have Start Right, the parents and toddlers group, to make sure we're getting the gospel out. Let's, in our workplaces, be saying to the goats, we plead with you. Be reconciled to God. But Jesus is actually speaking about how a sheep lives in relationship with other sheep. Is that good? And they said, we didn't know it was you, Lord. And basically, how Jesus defines a sheep is righteous by faith and showing you are really saved. By their fruit, Jesus said, I know them. On that day, he will say, well, no, you were there. I remember when you did this for me. I remember when you did that for me. I remember when you were there. Supporting, loving, encouraging. I remember when you actually brought the word of God in that situation for that person who needed a promise at that time. You sought me. You got something. You opened your home for me. You provided what was needed. And I remember, because he doesn't forget. What we do for each other is being recorded. I find that very motivational. I don't know about you. Bring it on. I'm like, yeah, now that's not bad, because sometimes you feel when you're giving a lot and keep serving and you keep blessing, and you're like, I'm a bit tired of this. Perhaps we should have a holiday from all of this. Give up. Keep going. Jesus is recording it, and it will be spoken of on that day. He will say what he's really seen. Isn't that amazing? Living in the light of eternity. Living for Christ by living for others. You see, Jesus says very clearly, you can't just say you love me and not love this lot. You can't say you love me and you got a problem with your brother or sister. You can't, because love for God means that's how it will work out. And we need to be ready for that day to make sure that we are doing what we know the Lord wants us to do with our brothers and sisters. So we're taking care of each other, looking out for each other. You see, a sheep on their own is not actually either going to survive or be in the will of God, which is why you need to be in your sheep groups. Sheep groups. Let's have a sheep group. What's it called? A connect group. Meh. So there's a reality of the real life, not just what you're thinking is the real Christian life, but what Jesus says is the real Christian life. What a great word from Jesus this morning. And this will help us to be able to see where we are and maybe make adjustments for that day, or just be greatly encouraged to keep going. Because the day is coming when Jesus will return. But also to have in mind and never forget the goats. When I read what Jesus says, that those goats will be thrown into eternal damnation, I don't just want to do a party that I'm saved. And when I meet people who don't know Jesus, I don't want to go, well, I'm a sheep. Isn't it brilliant? Year ago. I don't want to ever forget that I once was a goat, and by grace through faith, I'm a sheep. But I also want to plead with them to repent, stop going your own way, and follow Jesus. Now, I know anybody in this room who has a unsaved, and I mean what Jesus terms salvation. I don't mean somebody who says, well, I'm a Christian, I don't have to go to church, that stuff. That's rubbish. It's rubbish in God's mind. Yeah. It's a load of rubbish. Yeah. Sorry. You're not saved to be independent. I am preaching up a storm here. Because I feel it's needed. We need clarity, church, don't we? Yeah, the word of God setting us free from all the wrong thinking. And I can't think of anybody that I know and love, my neighbors, the people that are in my family or unsaved. I can't think of that day without doing all that I can do to see them become a righteous sheep who follows Jesus with other sheep. I can't think of it. So if that's how much I love them, God in his heart, you know, judgment day is going to come, but right now God's going as if pleading through us to the world, be reconciled to me. He's pleading with everybody. I want you, and I want you saved, because I know what's coming. I want you because I died for you and I love you, but I don't want either for you to go into eternity in hell. So that's the heart of God. And we are here to express his heart. Now, we know that goats are totally unacceptable. And interestingly, sometimes I think, I don't like to judge anybody's heart because I don't, only God knows. But I've known a lot of people who say they're Christians and get no fruit. There's no fruit of it. There's no fruit of a changed life. You know, it's like, praise God, let's get baptized. Brilliant, what a day, fantastic. Now, the goat came in this way, came to Christ, but then went out back as a goat living where they, what they've always wanted to do, they do. I can't see that's a righteous outworking of salvation. Can you? And I've known too many people, even in this church, even under the preaching of the word here. Repent, believe, and go. And not walk with Jesus in obedience to the things that he asks them to do. And I can't judge where they are, but I know they're not safe. In the light of Scripture, I know they're not safe. And I think on that day, some people who think they're sheep might get a shock. And I think that's probably why Jesus taught it, this parable. I don't want you to get too comfy. I want you to live the real life, the real Christian life, and walk with me all your days, loving and serving one another and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ to anyone you meet, because God is not willing that any perish, but all come to know the truth. So what is Jesus saying? Sheep, righteous by faith, will always show it in how they live. Tell somebody next to you, this is important for me to know this morning. And just tell the person next to you, I know you by the fruit of your life and decisions. And praise God, none of us are perfect, so we don't need to come under that kind of, oh no, I'm no good, because we are saved by grace through faith. We need the mercy of God every day. God, forgive me all my sins, do we not? Yes. However, it's not an excuse to stay where you're at. The mercy of God and the grace of God are to lead us into obedience to Jesus Christ and to living for others. Not just your business, your family, and your house, your career, basically you. That's not a saved life. May the Lord give us grace to understand the things that Jesus really means in his word. May we all be ready. You know what I love about Noah's message? If you read scripture, and you read about Noah, God said to him, flood's coming, I want you to build an ark. And actually, by what, how Noah lived, the things he did, he was mocked, ridiculed for the way he lived his life. It was completely different. It was like, it's like he lived a sheep. He lived out his life as a sheep. And all the goats went, laughing at him. That's probably not a goat. Is it? That was a sheep. I don't know what that was. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They said, it's rubbish. What flood? It never rains here. He prepared for the day when that ark doors would be shut and the end of grace happened and the beginning of judgment came. He lived ready. And I actually think Noah speaks to this generation very clearly that we need to live with eternity in mind. And that's the message or the heart of Jesus for each one of us. In the way we see people, give us discernment, Lord. Are they a goat? And if they are, I need to give them the good news. Because they can't be saved just hearing your stories. They need to know that Jesus died for their sins. That he was buried and rose again. And anyone who repents, turns away from goatish behavior and sin, and turns to Christ and follows Jesus Christ, will be saved. By grace through faith and into good works. I feel healthy having preached the word of God today. I feel the word of God has come and sorted a lot here in our heads, hasn't it? And in our hearts, and maybe in our motives. I'm saved to do good for Jesus. And when I do it for Jesus, it means I'll do it for you. That's what Jesus meant. Whatever you do for the least of these, my brethren, you do it for me. And I love that. That Jesus sees his body as really his body. Like, you know, if you came and massaged my hand right now, you know, just, not that I really want a hand massage, but you did that for me, I'd be like, oh, that feels nice. And Jesus says, Jesus would go, thanks for doing that for me. It would be my body you'd be doing it, but Jesus is saying it's me, because he's the head of the body of Christ. And each one of us are part, members of his church. So today we celebrate both the warnings, giving us a glimpse as to what will really happen. And sometimes, you know, it's right to tell people who don't know Jesus about Judgment Day. We need to bring the whole counsel of God back in to preaching the gospel. What does this mean? Each one of us will give an account. First of all, did you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, or did you reject him? And on that basis, you're either righteous or unrighteous. But righteous people aren't just praying prayers. They're doing the work. Let's stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.